The fight against terrorism is also a fight for the rights and dignity of women.
That's former First Lady Laura Bush speaking right after the U.S. invaded Afghanistan in 2001. She saw the invasion as a way to help Afghan women, saying thanks to the U.S. effort, Afghan women were, quote, no longer imprisoned in their homes. The U.S. signed a deal with Afghanistan over the weekend that signals the end of the longest war in American history. 18 years of conflict in the region may soon be over. Now, the deal requires the Afghan government to release 5,000 Taliban prisoners in exchange for 1,000 Afghan security forces from the Taliban. And as part of the deal, 14,000 American troops have to get out of Afghanistan within 14 months. But the deal is facing major challenges. Just one day after it was signed, the Afghan government rejected the timeline for the prisoner swap. This is raising questions about whether the deal will actually hold. And as some details are being hammered out, women are speaking up about what a deal might mean for their sisters, daughters, and mothers and friends. Afghan women want a seat at the negotiating table as the country tries to achieve peace. Masuda Sultan is one of the founding board members of Women for Afghan Women. Masuda, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
When you first heard about the peace deal, what did your gut tell you?
Well, unfortunately, Afghanistan has not left us a lot of good choices. We have been promoting nation building. We've been promoting women's rights. We've been doing some really good things in Afghanistan. In fact, the American people have been very generous to Afghanistan through USAID. We have the largest women's program in the entire world happening in Afghanistan. So we have had some noble goals there, and we've made some great progress.
When you say we, who do you mean? Americans, or do you mean Afghan?
Well, the Afghans have certainly made some great strides. I mean, if you look at some of the human indicators, for example, like life expectancy, which has gone from 55 years in 2000, it's to 63 years old now. Now, that's still pretty low, but it's improved dramatically. If you look at women's health indicators, if you look at just the fact that there's millions of girls going to school now that wasn't happening, I mean, there's been some really good things that have happened in the past 18 years.
But for girls in particular, we know that a lot of children didn't go to school because of so much war, what was happening. It's been 18 years. But for women in particular, we heard Laura Bush, who said that this is a great day for Afghani women. Do you believe that? Was it a good day when the U.S. invaded Afghanistan?
Well, we should not be under any illusion about why the United States went into Afghanistan. Afghan women were suffering for all of the 1990s during the various Mujahideen faction wars. And during the Taliban years, their rights were stripped from them. But we did not go to Afghanistan in those years. We went after 9/11. So while the conditions were created to help them with these terrible dark period that they were living in, it's not the reason that we went to Afghanistan. And I think we should separate that in the discussion.
So what about during the invasion? How did women fare during the invasion while the U.S. was in Afghanistan?
Well, initially, it was really an incredible time in the early years of the U.S. presence there. There was great advances in projects for women in rebuilding. Physically, the cities have transformed over the past 18 years. And there's been a lot of hope, and sometimes maybe too much hope given to people about what their lives would become. But there's been this urban-rural divide, actually. So some women have benefited greatly from the changes that have happened, whereas other women in the rural areas have really not seen any difference in their lives. And in fact, some of them have gone backwards, because when there's conflict in your area, when you look at the civilian casualties and the both the killings and those who have been maimed and injured, this has been, for a lot of women, not a good war.
So in terms of this particular deal, do you have any criticisms about it?
Well, I think, you know, from Afghanistan, the number one critique I've heard is that the Afghan government should have been involved in it. And I really take that to heart. I think that's true. I think the Afghan government is the legitimate, recognized government of Afghanistan by the United Nations and all these countries. But the problem has been that we have not been able to get them at the table in the first stage, because the Taliban have been insisting for these past 18 years that the United States needs to leave Afghanistan, and that they would only discuss a withdrawal of foreign troops as a first step in any peace deal.
In terms of this particular deal, were women involved? Were they involved in negotiating this deal?
So this deal was between the U.S. government and the Taliban. And on the U.S. government side, Ambassador Malifi is the deputy to Ambassador Khalilzad and was very involved, actually, in the deal. There have been American women involved in this deal. I don't believe that there have been Taliban women involved in this deal. And the Afghan government has not been part of the deal. So in some ways, I think Afghan women have been playing a role on the sidelines in shaping the views about this deal.
So being on the sidelines and being at the table are two different things. Do you think there's anything missing in this deal because it does not have the fingerprint of women on it?
I think that this part of the deal was between the U.S. and the Taliban. The next stage of the deal is the intra-Afghan dialogue, and there will certainly be Afghan women at the table in that discussion. There is no doubt the Afghan government has made it explicitly clear that women will be at the table. The U.S. government has made it explicitly clear that women and various groups, civil society and political opposition groups, should be an inclusive group. And that's also the case for the Europeans. I mean, we're in 2020. There is no way that an intra-Afghan dialogue is going to happen without Afghan women at the table. The question is, how many women will be at the table? What will the percentage of representation be? We would like to see 50% of the seats allocated to Afghan
50%.
Women. 50%? Yes, 50% allocated to Afghan women. And we would like to see a representation from a diverse array of civil society.
So what do you think women on the ground need most?
So what Afghan women need more than anything else is a commitment from the U.S. and international community to see them through this peace. This is just one step in a process, and the Afghan people need the support of the international community throughout this. It's not going to be easy. People are going to want to abandon the process, but we need to keep them together, committed to finding a peaceful resolution to this war. Lock them in a room, whatever you need to do. There needs to be some resolution. Second, Afghanistan needs and Afghan women need continued aid for the country. The United States supports over 70% and allies support over 70% of the Afghan budget. It is imperative. It's a landlocked country. It's been 40 years at war. It's imperative that the funding continues. I am told that when the troops leave, there is a risk that the funding levels will drop. I think that will be very dangerous for Afghanistan.
Thank you so much for being with us. Masuda Sultan is one of the founding board members of Women for Afghan Women. Thanks so much.
Thanks.